The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
After enduring the longest closure in the world, indoor dining and drinking finally reopened on Monday, despite objections from some politicians and activists to banning unvaccinated people from indoor hospitality. Businesses across the country have been welcoming back customers for what remains of the summer season. We also heard some positive chimes from Tony Holohan on the easing of restrictions. Have a listen to what he said during his press briefing.
We think that the progress that we're making as a country in terms of vaccination in particular will put us in a strong position. We know we're coming close, let's say, to the autumn time, starting to think about the resumption of winter activities and obviously things like college and school and all these. These are all in our mind in terms of advice that we're going to need to provide around the safe and effective resumption. So we're looking at essentially what are the kinds of criteria that need to be satisfied to enable us to advise when we think is appropriate and safe to do so, to step back some of those ranges. So it's more about achieving those criteria rather than specifically a specific time period or a date. But if we keep the progress going that we're making in terms of vaccination, that day may not be far away.
Now, the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Tony Holohan, unusually, uncharacteristically bringing smiles to journalists' faces during the week. We are here in the Lansdowne Kenmare for our Friday forum, and joining me to discuss this and all the other matters of the week, Independent Kerry TD Michael Healy-Ray. We are also joined by the Kerryman's Sinead Kelleher and by Councillor Norma Moriarty of Fianna Fáil. You're all very welcome to the programme. Let's talk about Tony Holohan, first of all. Were you, like the journalist, overjoyed, Michael?
Well, I don't know, would you ever go using the word overjoyed? Could I just start off by saying that, first of all, Pat, you and your team, you're very welcome to the nicest town in the nicest county in the nicest hotel in the Western world, the Lansdowne in Kinmare. So you're very welcome to be here.
So Kilgarvan is just too small to qualify for that description, I
presume.
Well,
we're right nearby, so we're hanging on the coattails always, but you are very welcome.
Thank
here.
You very much.
But I don't know would I go using the word overjoyed, but look, we have to deal with every situation as we deal with it, and that's it, you know.
Okay.
It is what it is.
So Tony Holohan, though, is suggesting that things might ease up even more quickly than even the optimists in government were suggesting.
Well, look, at the end of the day, that always depends on what happens, how the actual figures are panning out every day, every week, the projections. There's a mathematical way of dealing with this. And all we can do with it, it's like everything in life, deal with it as it comes to us.
Okay.
And just try and do our best. The one thing that I would say to people, though, is not to be letting your guard down, though. Because while we want businesses to be open, while we want places to get back to normal, as much as possible, but like there's stupid things that you can do, or there's sensible things. When I met you there today, the first thing I did was I agreed to do with an elbow, a pat. Like, I mean, that's fine. But I mean, you would, in your travels, you would see people putting out the hand and going shaking hands. Yeah. That's not necessary. It's not necessary to be, you know, right next to a person. You can keep your social distancing. And like, you can be sensible about it. That's what I always said about the opening of businesses. I wanted the proprietors of the businesses to be in charge of saying how many people they'd allow into a place. Not the fact that they should be made keep the business closed.
I mean, we heard earlier on in the programme, I don't know whether you guys heard the comment from someone in Dublin, 5 pubs within a very short distance, people out every night, music going, drinking on the streets, peeing on the streets, broken glass and all the rest of it. So some people are responsible and some people definitely are not.
Yes, but the government can't hold you by the hand. We are responsible ourselves as individuals for how we behave, how we socialise and how we integrate with people. That's
Norma?
Michael is just very rarely I find myself agreeing with Michael, but I do agree with him on the point about not becoming complacent, you know, and continuing to the good habits that we acquired in terms of hygiene and distance and masking and so on, to maintain those. But by the same token, it is understandable why government had to make the decisions they took, because people can be irresponsible, and more especially if you
Do you have any sympathy for the unvaccinated? I mean, things have changed in the sense there's vaccines for all this weekend. Yeah. People who haven't had a first facts can go to a walk-in centre if there's one within spitting distance or even a few kilometres of them and get it. The over 16s can get the vaccine. The pharmacies, we're talking about 12 to 15 year olds with parental consent getting the vaccine. I mean, is it a storm in a teacup, people saying my human rights are being infringed upon?
No, I look, in fairness, all credit due to the HSE and to everybody involved in the vaccine rollout. You know, it was fraught with supply issues initially, but I mean, they have really done very, very well. And if you take Ireland's figures compared to the world in terms of vaccine rollout, and indeed the acceptance and the willingness to engage in the vaccine programme, we're top of the pile, quite frankly.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know. Sinead, the point about Ireland is that there seems to be very limited vaccine hesitancy. We'll talk about children's vaccines in a moment or two, but in America, anyone can get a vaccine, and yet so many are not vaccinated. In the UK, we appear to have caught up with the rate of vaccination, so we don't have the vaccine hesitancy that they appear to have.
No, absolutely not. It's been great, really, in this country. But I suppose we do have to respect that some people chose not to get it, and we also have to understand that some people can't get it. I think some sympathy has to be shared with those that cannot get it for whatever reason, be it a medical reason. But we've been fantastic. I mean, the HSC rollout, credit to them, has been brilliant, and, you know, there's been great take-up. And now as we move forward, you know, the younger people are getting it this week. There's walk-ins. So no one has any reason
now,
not
now
to.
Last week on the programme, Pádraig Tobin, a colleague of yours in Dáil Éireann and the leader of the Aontú party, he was advocating what we've been on this programme advocating all the time, is antigen testing is very democratic, because it doesn't matter whether you want the vaccine or not, or whether you can or can't get the vaccine for health reasons. If you have an antigen test, it gives you the green light, you can wine and dine at will. The government has been very slow to embrace that notion, which is prevalent in other European cities.
Well, the reason why the government didn't want to go down that road, because they didn't want to say to people, well, this is an alternative to the vaccine, because they want to promote the vaccine. And, like, I too would have grave concerns on behalf of people. For instance, just use an example. If you have a young lady, we'll say, who, please God, in the future wanted to become pregnant, and if she and or her partner or the couple, if they had concerns about the vaccine, and if they...
They're founded in science or not.
Exactly. And I'm not saying whether they're right or wrong.
But it's a real concern. Yes, they feel it, and therefore
and
we have to respect
young,
that feeling.
If you were a young lady and if you were genuinely worried, could you honestly blame that young girl then for not wanting to take the vaccine? You couldn't, because you'd say it was her freedom.
But that's my point about
choice.
The testing. Because if she had an antigen test, wouldn't be, it's non-damaging. You don't absorb anything. You just stick a thing up your nose, take a sample and put it on a little thing like a pregnancy test. 20 minutes later, you know whether you're good to go or not.
But there's an irony in this. We remember not too long ago, we had a referendum in this country and the government kept saying, your choice, your body, your choice, you make up your mind and this is your vote. Now, all of a sudden, the government are saying, well, we don't care about your body. We care so much about it. I'm sorry, I worded it a different way. That we're telling you, you must do this. We're not giving you a choice. So, like, we can't have it both ways. And if you're a young lady, in particularly, I've had an awful lot of girls saying to me, no, I want the choice. I want to be able to say, no, I don't want to take that. And I respect that very, very much.
The choice is there. You don't have to be vaccinated. You register. You choose to be vaccinated. That's where the choice is important.
But you're locked out of premises then.
With the greatest of respect, you know, which is the more important one? You know, and by the time, please God, we conclude the vaccination programme, you know, the vast majority, we're already at a majority population figure that are vaccinated, that will have very positive consequences in terms of the transmission rate, because even if a person who's fully vaccinated acquires COVID, their capacity to transmit it is much diminished. So the more people that are, and we, as I said, plenty have volunteered to take it and are perfectly happy and have had no adverse effects, I'm one of them myself. And hopefully that will make up for those people who have genuine and reasonable concerns.
Yeah, but the question of antigen testing and why we haven't embraced it, Michael
because
suggests
it
that they want to push vaccines. But, I mean, this was being used in meat factories. Yeah. The announcement of a pilot project to third level, I think it was made 5 times before they actually got on with it. So they are embracing it in theory, and we're told even if this thing ran away, if Delta ran away, we would introduce antigen testing instead of PCR if the numbers got absolutely massive. So it's kind of lukewarm, wishy-washy.
Well, yes, it was, because I suppose they felt that the best strategy was the vaccination, because that's the one that provides you with the greatest certainty. Antigen testing, they said, is less accurate. There's also, let's be honest, how long does it last? If you're going from place to place, how often would you have to take an antigen test? You know, I heard people talking about being COVID negative as opposed to having a vaccine as a strategy. Again, there's huge issues. There's logistical issues around that and how you prove you're COVID negative.
Okay, but the difficulty for people who feel they don't want the vaccine for whatever reason, antigen test, you're good to go, come on in. And there's no discrimination
there. I believe we'll get to that point when the majority are
Sinead?
Fully vaccinated.
Yeah, I think antigen tests should now be looked at. Now that many of us are vaccinated, now is the time to start rolling out another method to help combat the virus, given that so many of us are vaccinated. I think the reason previously for not having antigen testing was it would lead to complacency. So if you tested, negative up from the virus with an antigen test, you'd go into bars and start hugging and kissing and all that kind of stuff. And I suppose that's one of the reasons for not doing it up until now. But given that there's quite a large amount of the population, it's time to start at least examining this as an option for people who aren't vaccinated or who want to travel.
I want to read a couple of texts. I'm burning with frustration here. All the happy holiday makers you're speaking with, good for them. But do people know about the mobile and caravan park sector of the tourist industry? It's completely unregulated. We bought a retirement mobile after 40 years of hard work and we're being treated like common criminals in our park. No visitors, no dogs, no on-site facilities, and discouraged forcibly from disposing of our rubbish on site. I'm very depressed about this. Instead of enjoying a staycation, I'm skulking about in a hostile park and not allowed my friends or family to visit. There needs to be a robust debate at government level about this. We are, after all, upholding all the COVID advice by staycationing and we have been thrown to the wolves. I don't know if any of you know anything about that sector.
I met with them last weekend with a group of people. And I always advocated on our local authority and indeed nationally, we should have a programme of encouraging people. If retired people or families want to buy a vehicle and it can be a vehicle itself that they actually stay inside in or a caravan type of thing
that
you tow, right? They should be encouraged. There should be facilities. And they're very basic facilities. But every town should have, on the outskirts of the town or somewhere, there should be a designated area where they would be welcomed. And even if they had to pay a nominal fee...
Is the issue not travellers?
Oh, well...
The travellers will come with their families, stay there all the year round, and there will be no room for the staycationers or even the foreign tourists.
In this county alone, we had places all along our roads where there was big, wide laybys, and if you were driving a lorry and if cars were trailing behind you, you had a place to pull in nice and easy and let the cars pass you out. Yeah. Slowly, over the last number of years, all those places have disappeared, pulling in places, and the reason being because they were misused by people who pulled in and made that their unofficial place to live. And yes, and fair use to you for saying it, it is a fact.
From my point of view, health and safety is an issue. If you've got young children on the side of a road, that is not healthy or safe.
I'm just alluding to the places that have disappeared on the side of the road. But also, the reason why local authorities find it difficult to say, yes, we will designate this area for people on holidays to come with camping vans, what they're afraid of is that they will be misused by other people who will use it for a different purpose, like a long stay.
I don't know where your contributor is actually staying unhappily in their caravan at the moment, but I would tell them to up sticks and come to Kerry, because you've plenty of absolutely excellent caravan parks and they'll have a wonderful experience. I would say this in relation to what Michael said about putting infrastructure in place to facilitate would say people
all over continental Europe. This is quite the thing. So many people enjoy months and months of travelling around and know securely, book in advance, pay by credit card, know they have a spot,
enterprise, it's not state-run. And I think what we should be doing is maybe looking at the leader-funded, potentially funding such enterprises, because there's a growth in that market, and I do think there is an opening for it.
Yeah, I think facilities are probably our issue mainly here in Ireland. Like, I've travelled in other countries, and that is quite common. There's facilities, they are absolutely everywhere. Like, Australia is a prime example. They have facilities and free facilities, and I think we should look at that, because it is something that should be encouraged from a tourism point of view. But like you said, regulation is vital as well, and that would be something.
Moving on, I was going to play a piece of Paul Moyna talking about the possibility of the vaccines leading to some heart complaints in the younger cohort, but just generally we'll touch on it. It seems that your colleague in Kerry, the Minister Norma Foley, is trying to get the schools open properly, and part of that is to vaccinate 12 to 15 year olds. Michael, do you have any concerns?
I do have concerns, because again, parents have been saying to me that they're not anxious to have children of that age being vaccinated. And again, it comes back to what I said to earlier on about freedom of choice and freedom of what you wanted to do. Parents don't want to find themselves being coerced into this. And could I just say, this is no criticism of our minister. I'm very proud and glad of the fact that we do have a senior minister at the cabinet table from Kerry. And Norma, in my opinion, is doing a very, very good job in that. But having said that, parents have concerns about children of such such a young age being vaccinated because they have worries about that. And you can't blame the parents for that.
Again, we await all the scientific reports from the Netherlands, from Israel, from Britain and so on. But, you know, the fact that you tell people not to worry doesn't mean they won't worry, Norma.
Naturally, and I was listening to Anthony Staines on radio this morning in relation to this issue. And the point that he was making is that in that younger cohort who have acquired COVID, that there are, and have recovered, but they are susceptible to long COVID and the impact of that. And he said when it comes to parents making up their mind and making their decision, he asked them to look at the vaccine, which he believes to be very safe, and the numbers of adverse effects being very, very minimal, and looking at COVID, he said, which we are continuing to learn about, and more especially about the long COVID and the impact that would have. And if you take a young person and their life, if because of long COVID they miss a large chunk of school, and it could be an exam year, or if they're involved in sport or drama or something very particular and they have to miss out on that, that has a significant impact on their lives as well. So to weigh those the
And that's a difficult thing to weigh up. Both events are relatively rare.
Yes.
But, you know, whether you get a heart thing that can be treated or long COVID, which take a lot longer to treat.
But it is important to mention as well that Stephen Donnelly said nobody will be prevented from going to school if they don't wish to be vaccinated.
Sinead?
Yeah, I think Norma is correct. Yeah, it's weighing up the options. I mean, we've already said they won't be forced to take the vaccine, but I think parents are very concerned because we've been told all along that schools are safe environments, and now they're trying to say we do need to vaccinate our children. But, you know, so I think
there
will be some...
Well, the Delta changed the game, in fairness. I'll stay with you, Sinead, on the president and the fact that the Oireachtas is overworking him. The government particularly, because they're the ones pushing through the bills, in spite of some opposition, desires to prolong the working term and delay the staycation.
Yeah, I suppose it's been a very difficult year, but you know, the pandemic has changed things. So I suppose, look, it is that we have to take that into account, and that's why there is so much work this year. So I think, you know, he'll have to accept that it's a difficult year, and this needs to be done.
Get the head down into those bills.
We have no choice.
On and get cracking, Norma.
I've the greatest respect for our president, and I will be a strong supporter of him. But that's your job, and like everybody else, there are times when you're busier than other times. So I have no sympathy with that.
Suck it up and blow it out in bubbles. A lot of legislation has been passed through the Dáil over the last number of months and indeed weeks. And yes, of course, the president's job is to go through it. There are a lot of hours in the day. My recommendation, with the utmost of respect, is start very early in the morning, stay at it late at night. And yes, you will get through it. It's there to be done. And I'm sure, and I have every confidence in him, that he will rise to the challenge and that he will be able to scrutinise and go through it in the best way possible. And one thing that he did, which I actually think was a good idea, having the different Oireachtas gatherings this evening and having a little word with them. There's no harm in that. An interaction between the president and the houses of the Oireachtas from time to time is indeed fruitful and welcome. But this thing of, it's an onerous workload, I don't give in to that. I think it's quite possible to do your work if we just put our head down and knuckle up to it.
OK, so your message is to Áras an Uachtaráin up there, Michael D, sitting in the Phoenix Park, suck it up and blow it out in bubbles.
Exactly. That's it.
Michael Healy-Ray, thank you very much for joining us. Independent DD for Kerry, Fianna Fáil councillor Norma Moriarty, thank you very much for joining us. And Sinead Kelleher from the Kerryman, thank you very much for joining us here on our Friday Forum in the Kenmare Lansdowne, or the Lansdowne Kenmare.